Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 7. As thirsts the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks, and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. 1, 2, 4, and 7 of 114.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter, and the first 23 verses. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 23. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe and Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, and they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we also draw nigh to Thee, who hast shown Thy great power, for it was upon the observance of that power that it was asked of Thy servant, by what power and by what name have ye done this? Oh, then there was one who did stand before them whole. O Lord, that Thou may remember us also, that in Thy house of prayer, that we may also be the witnesses of power, that power that is from on high, that we do not have from our side, being dead in sins and in trespasses, but that power that is able to heal, and that is able to give life from the dead, that is able to make right between us and Thee. O Lord, it is a power which is received in and through one name, as we have heard it out of Thy holy word. That is a name that is despised by each and every one of us by nature. There is no form and there is no comeliness in Thee. And it is a name that our hearts do turn away from. But it is a name that will receive a great comeliness in the life of Thy own church. Oh, that Thou may look upon each and every one of us, and that we also may begin in our life to love that name, that we may desire it, that we may need it, and that it may be in our ears as music, and that it may be altogether lovely unto us, that Thou Thyself would be the chiefest among 10,000, and then it is necessary that Thy Spirit make room for Him, and that we are stripped away, and that we lose our false foundations, that our own righteousnesses become as filthy rags, and that our own strength is taken away from us, and that we be left as one that is shown the reality of our life, that we are destitute of all good and right and power. Oh, that we have sinned in our father Adam, and that we are now creatures that are lost, that we have transgressed all Thy commandments in thought, word, and deed, and that we are not able to deliver ourselves,
from that great pit that we have brought ourselves into. Oh, that the cry may also come forth out of the miry clay and the horrible pit, that we may also be delivered by Thee, that Thou wouldst hear from heaven Thy dwelling place. Lord, remember young and old, by nature seeking after this world, with not a need, not a care in our soul as we go to a great and never-ending eternity. Much religion, much form, much custom, much outward prayer, reading of Thy holy word, a baptism, a confession, but we have nothing. Oh, nothing to stand upon on that great day of days. But we shall be turned away from Thee at a closed door if we do not have that solid foundation. Oh, if we are not engrafted into that only begotten Son, into that vine from whom flows all that sap. Lord, that which is Thy Father's, that is also Thine, as we have read it out of Thy holy word, that it is belonging to Thee, and Thou dost give unto Thy people. Oh, that Thou may give a holy jealousy then, that that life may yearn, and that it may hunger, that it may thirst after Thee. And that all that is in this world may lose its value to us and to our children. Do instruct and teach us who are so ignorant. And wilt Thou draw us who are so hard and so wayward. And wilt Thou seek us out who are lost and not able to find a way again. And wilt Thou correct us who are rebellious and have no desire anymore. Oh, that Thou would restore us who have so departed from Thee. And wilt Thou reconcile us who have separated ourselves from Thee never to return again. Lord, where is our only hope? That is not in one of us. No, that is in Thee alone. Oh, take reasons then out of Thyself, in whom Thou art able only to take reasons. And wilt Thou look upon the welfare and the great honor and the great glory of Thy holy name, and that Thou also may send forth in this hour Thy Holy Spirit, and when Thou wilt glorify Thyself in the conversion of a sinner, and wilt Thou send him forth as we read it in Thy holy word, and when Thy servant did begin already to pray. Oh, that Thou didst send forth Thy servant, the angel from above, that he came to give an answer, for Thou dost answer before we call. Oh, Lord, that Thou may look upon us then, young and old, not to leave us to ourselves, but to have mercy amidst well-deserved wrath, and grant that that substance of which Thy word it does declare, that is so full and that is so free, and that it may also be that which our heart does seek after, that that city which is founded upon those 12 pillars, wherein the entrance of that city that is so open in and through Thine only begotten Son, that city, wherein too there are 12 gates, O Lord, that Thou may grant that our hearts may live with a longing that we also may be partakers of those blessings that are reserved for Thy remnant. Remember them, O feed them with all Thy truth, and grant them a good day in Thy house of prayer that is undeserved by us. But wilt Thou remember them in Thy mercy, Lord? Look upon all those that need Thee. There are so many. We are such miserable creatures that we need Thee for the need of our souls. But this whole world is also full of misery, and Thou knowest the needy where they are and when they cry, those that are hungry and thirsty and naked and destitute. Those that do mourn the losses of their loved ones, their homes, their businesses, and all. The misery that is in this world, the suffering, oh, supply thou. And wilt thou show thyself to be the ruler and the governor of this entire universe, and draw men also by the way of thy providences unto thyself, as thou alone art able to do. Remember all those that go forth to bring thy word on the mission fields and all over this world, that thy kingdom may come, that many and may be brought in from the east and from the west. And wilt thou look upon all those that are set upon the thrones of this world, that do make our laws and rules, and those that judge us, O Lord, thou dost say, that for them we are to pray, and to them we are to be obedient. O give us then to submit ourselves under their hands, but wilt thou give them also to rule us according to thy holy word, and bring us back to thy law and to thy testimonies. Be with all those that are in the prisons. Lord, give strength, courage, true repentance, and wilt thou supply in all their needs, and wilt thou look upon all those that care for those that are sick and afflicted. Help and strengthen, be with our school, all the teachers and the principals and the staff and the bus drivers and the school board and the children. Lord, bless. Oh, bless the labors that are in their midst. And remember also the Calgary branch. Lord, thou knowest all that takes place. Oh, that thou may provide for them the place of worship, that they may continue to be able to meet. And wilt thou thyself supply in all of these needs. Go thou before us then in thy mercy in this afternoon hour also. And thou didst give unto us and our children thy word. And thou didst preserve also thy truth. And our fathers, thou gavest them to know that truth, and also the ability to lay it out, for which we may acknowledge thee. Lord, then we need to be taught it even as they were. Oh, that thou may show it unto us too, and that thou may open our eyes and give us wisdom and understanding, and supply for us instruction from above by thy Spirit to speak and to hear, and bring thy word in our hearts with power, and that thou may raise up the fathers and the mothers in grace from the children and the sons and the daughters. Be among us. In this hour we ask of thee alone in the name of thy only begotten Son, in Jesus' name, amen. And while your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 141, stanzas 1 through 4. Gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee, and let thy Spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart, steadfast make my willing heart. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter 141, all stanzas.
Congregation, in Lord's Day 8, our fathers have given to us instruction concerning the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It is this holy and this blessed triune God that is concerned with the salvation of God's church. And we have heard also of the Father. He is our maker. He is our creator. And the Father, he is also at times actually the representative of the entire Trinity. So it was in the covenant of works, and so it is also in the covenant of grace. Thus, it is the Father, in that sense, in whom we have left in paradise, and it is him to whom that we must return. Is there now any desire in our heart that we may return unto him? Is there also an attempt in our life to return unto him? Job says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Because he says, "I go forward, but he is not there. And I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. I go to my left hand where he does work, and I cannot behold him. And he hideth himself on the right hand, so that I cannot see him." Is that also what is the life of some in our midst? Then it is necessary that also the Son does reveal himself to our soul. And that Son we wish to consider in this afternoon by beginning in Lord's Day 11. Lord's Day 11, questions 29 and 30. Question 29, why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. Answer, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek nor neither can find salvation in any other. Question 30, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. So far, our Lord's Day. The name Jesus. First, salvation declared in this name. Second, there is no salvation outside of this name. And third, what salvation is received through this name? The name Jesus, first, salvation declared in this name. Second, there is no salvation outside of this name. And third, what salvation is received through this name. Each of the persons of the Holy Trinity has
names. And why names? Because they are for our instruction. They were not necessary until we did not know him anymore, that the Lord would give to his word and give to himself many names, that we may again come to know who that he is. And now in the next three Lord's days, then we hope to hear something of the names of the Son. The Son has very many names by which he reveals himself, because he will reveal himself always in a way that is suitable unto his people. Thus, in a way that is over against what that people experience themselves to be, and that he may show to them and that he is suitable also for their own case. It is impossible for our fathers to discuss in the catechism every single name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are children many, many, many names that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called a shepherd, and he is called the light, and he is called the door, and so on. Many, many names of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are only three that our fathers do speak of. And what are they? That is, in the first place, the name Jesus. That is, in the second place, the name Christ. And in the third place, they do consider that he is the Son of God. Why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is, a Savior. Thus, Jesus, that is his personal name. And, children, our name that is given to us by whom? That is given to us by our parents. And who gave Jesus his name? That was his Father. Who was his Father? You say that was Joseph? No, Joseph was not his Father, but God is his Father. And it is God that has given to him his name. You know that. Then the angel has come from heaven, and he has said that name unto Jesus, unto Mary, how that they shall name this holy thing, and that should be born of her. He shall be called Jesus. And that is not a light matter. And why not? Well, and especially those times, names were given that had much more meaning than the names that we typically give out to our children today. Sometimes it was a desire that a parent would name a child a certain name, and that he also may be given to fulfill the meaning of that name. Sometimes, actually, it was by prophecy that it is the Spirit of the Lord who has given those parents to name such a child, so that that name and that had much meaning also for the Church of God. How is that? For the Lord Jesus Christ, he is named by his Father, and he is named Jesus. And why Jesus? He gave also the reason, for he shall save his people from their sins. Therefore, in that name, there is that blessed meaning. Savior, our catechism says, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. In the Old Testament, then the Hebrew language was spoken, and the name of Jesus in the Hebrew, that is Joshua. And so we find great meaning in the name of Joshua, who has brought the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. We also read of Joshua the high priest, thus being a high priest and standing between God and the people. He was also a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the apostle, he does write how that Jesus, he is much greater than all the types and all the priesthood in the Old Testament, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Thus, we hear what he saves from, and that is sin. Do you need to be saved from sin? We may need to be saved from poverty. We may need to be saved from death. We may need to be saved from our enemies. Do we need to be saved from sin? He, we read, delivers. What does that mean? If he must deliver a person from sin, that means that sin is that which holds a person captive, in captivity, as it were, in prison. Are you in prison? And do you feel the bondage that we are held captive in our life, in heart, in life, in thought, in word, in deed, to sin? Because by nature sin has dominion. Dominion, that means that sin rules. So that it is sin that is ruling our entire life. Salvation, that is deliverance from this dominion. That is deliverance from that power, so that that power that does not rule us anymore, so that that will not also have the final victory, although it remains present in this life. Thus, it is not only to deliver from punishment. For us by nature, that is enough. Why, young people, did Shimei go to David and confess his sin? Why did he go? If there was no punishment coming, if David had not been brought back, he had never gone to him. But now when David comes back, now he is afraid to be punished. And so he goes to bow before him again. King Saul, he feared shame. He says, "Honor me now before the elders of the people." There was 9 out of the 10 lepers. They desired to be delivered too. They desired to be saved. From what? From their leprosy. They desired to be saved from the consequences of their sin. That is legitimate too, because those consequences, they are awful. But that is now all there was. Is that with us too? When we are lying in the hospital, and when we desire to be made well again, that we desire only to be delivered from the consequences. We read of a man in the Bible, he had the palsy, and he needed more. And the Lord Jesus knew also that he needed more. What did he say to him? He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee. He saw his need. He knew his need. Does he also know your need? If it was not necessary, absolutely necessary, then God the Father had never sent the Son into the world. But God the Father also knew the need. God the Father knew that it was necessary to send his Son into the world. And not only the Father, but also the Son. He has also known the great need. What did he know? He knew that man fell. We know that too. But he knew how deep that man fell. He knew that man was not able to deliver himself from this fall. He knew the depth of that fall, the utter misery of man. He knew that he would need a Savior from sin. If man would ever be delivered from sin. Do you also see that same need? Do you have also that same desire? Do we see our sin, that we may also desire to be delivered from that sin? We can go to church. We can know the scriptures. We can even love the Sabbath day and not need a Savior. Is that our case? Day by day and week by week with all our religion. What did the Son accomplish? That he may do this great work to save his people from their sin. Two things. Our young people know it from catechism class. There is his passive obedience and there is his active obedience. Thus, there are two things. In the first place, there is the punishment that is due. We cannot come out from under it. No, the Father, he has declared it, that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then there is no way that God can go back on his word. Then there is no way that the Father is able to overstep his own justice. Thus, there is a price, and a price that has to be paid. But when that price is now paid, there is still something else. Because what was it? And that the Lord did say to our first parents, if they will earn eternal life, then it was necessary for them that they should obey, that they should keep that whole law. Thus, even when that price was paid, still the blessing of life is not yet earned. Thus, it was not only the passive obedience, but also the active obedience of the Lord Jesus that was necessary, that he should keep in perfection that whole law of God. Adam did not do it, although he could. You and I, we do not do it either. And we cannot. But it was done now by that second Adam for the sake of his church, for the sake of you too. We cannot separate the work of application from the work of meriting of salvation. They are all aspects of that same work. It is the work of a triune God. And now that work of application is also so necessary. Why? Because that name of Jesus, when we are honest, is by nature no sweet sound in our ears. No, we know that there is much rejoicing in the name of Jesus. But it is congregation not as the Savior from sin. But actually, there is much rejoicing in that name. As one who does give us an excuse to continue in sin. There is much rejoicing in that name. And at the same time, serving this world. Living as an antinomian. Or then we use that name of Jesus for another purpose. We use that name of Jesus to deliver us from the restraints of the law. Because we don't want to be bound by that law. And we want to live our own law. And thus we name that name of Jesus so that we can go on living our life as our flesh wants to live our life. But the Lord Jesus said that he came not to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill that law. And therefore the apostle, he says, that law that is holy, just, and good. Do you think so too? By nature, we do not need Jesus. No, we need to learn also this need. We see that in our second thought. That is, that there is no salvation outside of this name. What do we read of the Jews? The Lord Jesus says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him, his own. And they still reject him. How is it possible? How is it possible that they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? They knew he was coming. He was prophesied of. He was promised. They even looked forward to the coming of that Messiah. And how is it now possible that he was rejected by them? They did not know. They did not believe that he was that Messiah. But that is not all. No, deep down in their hearts, they had enough on themselves. They had enough of their own righteousness. And that is always the reason that a man in this world does reject that mediator, because he is never brought to the end of his own righteousness. And therefore, our fathers, and they ask in question 30, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. We hear immediately what our fathers do aim at, and that is at Rome. Rome says that the saints are able to intercede, that the saints have supererogatory good works, that they have so many good works that they are able to use them also in the sight of God for other persons. That is, in addition to what, children? Actually, that is in addition to the work of the Lord Jesus, is it not? We said the Lord Jesus, he has fulfilled that whole law. And that is in perfection. But now Rome does say that it is necessary that we have more than that which the Lord Jesus has done. Then we must have also the good works that have been done by God's people, by the saints. And so those saints also may be sought out. They may be prayed to, but we do not read this in the Bible. We read the opposite. What do we read? We read Abraham is ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledges us not. They cannot hear us. Thus it is a denial. It is a denial
of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a denial of his perfect sacrifice, as if it is not enough. And thus our fathers do say, they boast of him with their mouth, but with their doctrines, with their works, they do deny him. And that is now the abominable doctrine that our fathers, the reformers, have so fought against, given their life 4 years ago. But those errors of Rome, they are not thereby put away, because of what our fathers have done. And why not? Because that Rome that is living in your heart, and it is living in my heart, that is the religion of our heart, the religion of our natural heart, created in that covenant, created in a covenant of works. And therefore, we will be saved in this manner. That is congregation so natural unto us. But it is a denial of our deep fall. It is a denial that this way has been cut off. When we read of the children of Israel, then they were led by Moses unto the borders of Canaan. And Moses has sent out spies, and they have come back, and we know that there were 10 that have brought a bad report, and Joshua and Caleb, they have brought a good report, and the children of Israel did not want to listen to Joshua and to Caleb. And they therefore said that we cannot go up. They despaired. And now what did the Lord say? He said, turn around. Go back. And when the Lord says, go back, then the children of Israel, they say, no, no, then we want to go forward. But it was not possible anymore. It was too late. 40 years, they have to wander in the wilderness. And all the old men, that is a picture also, all of the old men in those 40 years, they have to die. And now Moses, he is a representative of the law. Moses, after those 40 years, is not able to bring that people into that land. Who would? Children. Joshua, and that is the Hebrew name for whom? For Jesus. For Jesus. Thus we have a beautiful picture, do we not? Was it different with Adam? Was it different with us? All the Lord has said to us, obey. And we would not obey. And when we would not obey, the Lord has sent us forth from that garden. And now what does man want to do? Oh, he wants to try to obey. And when he will obey, then he wants to earn heaven and enter into that land of Canaan by his own obedience. But congregation, it is too late. It is too late. No, there is no way anymore. By our fulfillment of that law, that covenant of works that is broken, there is only one way. The Lord Jesus, he says, I am the door. Thus, it is only by that greater Joshua that we are able to enter into that land of Canaan. But what does man do? Man rejects this. Man refuses to believe that he is fallen. Man refuses to believe that he is dead. In trespasses and in sins, he really cannot believe that there really is no good left in him. He really cannot believe that he is actually not able to make it right again with God.
Am I really such an evil person as that Bible says that I am? Do I really have no understanding? Am I actually and truly without any spiritual ability? That is our unbelief. In our fall, we believed Satan and we did not believe the Lord. And that is how we continue. We still do not believe the Lord. We still do not believe what He says in His Word, that we are dead. And that now that way by Moses to enter into that land of Canaan, that promised land, oh, that way that is entirely, entirely cut off. People say you must believe in Jesus. What do you think of that? Oh, we agree, congregation. We agree, certainly we agree. We agree. Yes, because there is no name outside of that name. Our fathers, they say, one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. But because that a person says he believes in Jesus, does that mean that he does? No, that does not mean that he does. Often the fruits of our life, they show that we do not. What do our fathers say? Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who, and then they name the fruits, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else, they do not. For though they boast of Him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. Thus, they speak about boasting of Him in words, and yet denying Him. Thus, they say that their words, they are not true. If we say that we believe in Jesus and we do not believe our fall and we do not believe our death state, then we lie. Then we lie. Then we deceive ourselves. We can easily understand that. Why would we believe in a deliverer if we do not even see a need to be delivered? And if we think that we can deliver ourselves, faith that is fruit of regeneration, and then we receive the ability to believe, then we begin to believe, because then we receive spiritual life, and from the side of the Lord, then we are delivered. Delivered of what? Then we are delivered of that old covenant. Then we are delivered of Moses. Then we are engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we come in regeneration, actually, from the side of the Lord. We come into the state of grace. That is from the side of the Lord. How is it from the side of our own soul? Oh, then, how much is necessary that must be broken down. All our old thoughts, all our old ideas, all of our own expectations, that is now the great work of the Spirit of the Lord. Often years, does not have to be. No, it does not have to be years. The Lord is free. The Lord can work in one moment. The Lord can work in a few days. We only say it often is so because there is so much to learn. How much does not need to be taught to a person in order that he may know and believe that there is no salvation outside of Jesus. We will choose any other way except that way. That is now the way that we rebel against. Why? Because we have no desire to confess that we are dead in sins and in trespasses, and that we have a need to be saved. But now step by step, the Lord will instruct his people in this. And in the end, they will not be able to uphold themselves anymore. That is the great mercy of the Lord, to come against them, to come contrary to them, to disappoint them. Do you have a disappointing life? To disappoint them in all their false hopes and all their false expectations, and to take them all away. When they say that I will do it, the Lord has to take it away. And then when they say, well, then I need some help from the Lord, then it still has to go deeper. And then they say, the Lord has to do it, but I will help him. And then it still has to go deeper yet, until it must be that they need a Savior, that it must be from the side of the Lord alone. No, he will not be acknowledged as a helper, as a helping Savior, as a half Savior, but he will be acknowledged and glorified as a full, as the complete Savior of his people. And therefore, blessed are that people who come to know how wretched that they are. How blessed are that people who come to know that they cannot save themselves. That come to know their misery, their utter wretchedness, although it makes them feel so miserable. That is the way our flesh hates. That is the way our flesh rebels against. Oh, if the Lord did not keep his people on that path of stripping, they would leave congregation that path 1,000 times. To stray in the wrong way, oh, they would grab at anything in order that they may be kept from drowning. But it will not help. Drown they must. But oh, drown they shall not. No, they shall not drown. Because of who? Because of Jesus. No, he will not let them drown. But he will save them from it. And then they shall say, I shall not die, but live. And I will declare the works of the Lord. And then not my own name. No, then I shall declare his name. That is the name Jesus. Let us sing. Psalter 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of 188. our last thought, what salvation is received through this name. One of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. Thus the Lord Jesus Christ will reveal Himself to His people as a complete, as a full Savior, in order that He may receive all the honor and all the glory. And how is it that that Savior will be received? Our fathers say, by a true faith. We have heard it, Lord's Day 7. And when they may receive Him by a true faith, what will they experience? That is what our fathers say here. They will find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. Was that a great thing for the rich young ruler? That the Lord Jesus would have kept the whole law of God in perfection? That was to him no great thing. Why not? He did it too. All these things have I kept from my youth up. But now there is a people for whom that is a great wonder. That is a people who are not able to keep those commandments. All things necessary for their salvation. Once there was a publican. He stood in the temple. He had to smite upon his breast. What was necessary for him? Mercy. Is that necessary for you too? Mercy. And what do we read of that man? He went down to his house justified. Justified. Do you know what that means? That means clear. In the court of the justice of God, justified. Despite all his sins. Or what did he find? He found in Him everything. He found in Him all things that were necessary for his salvation. There is now people who are not able to live up to the requirements of that law of God. What did Paul say? The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, if he could have done it, he would have done it, but he could not do it. Therefore, he did not either. But what may he add? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what did he find? He found congregation, even the persecutor of the church of God. He found in him everything. Everything that was necessary for his salvation. May you also find that too. Or what is necessary for the salvation of that people? We heard it, children. The keeping of that whole law. Is that everything? There is more. There is more. The other thing, that is to take away the punishment. Oh, we hope to hear that. What are those weeks we have now entered? They are the weeks of passion. And then we hope to consider, the Lord willing. Will you ask the Lord to help us? Then we hope to consider the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is a people that are lying under the curse of God. Because of their disobedience. And now the justice of God that has to be satisfied. But now also in regard to this, that people do find in Him all things necessary to their salvation. Did he ever show it to you? Those of you who do lie burdened under a sense of your guilt and of your sin, or may he ever show himself through the lattice of His Word, that you may see just the smallest part of Him and what He has done in His suffering and in His payment of that price that has so completely taken away the curse and the wrath of the Father against His own people. Oh, may He ever show Himself. May the Spirit ever give you the smallest eye to behold Him as He did bear away the sin of His church upon Golgotha. And we know that the Father, He is satisfied. Why? Because the Father, He has raised Him from the dead. And who is it who has given Him His name? Oh, He has not taken that name upon Himself, no. No, but it is the Father Himself who has said that His name would be Jesus. Why? Because He will save His people from their sins, and because they will find in Him all things that are necessary to their salvation. Oh, and what is now necessary for the full and the complete salvation of that people, because they may be delivered from the consequences of sin, then they may be delivered from the guilt of sin in justification, and they may be delivered from the pollution of sin in sanctification, and they may be delivered from the punishment of sin in death and in hell. But we read, congregation, John writes in Revelation chapter 21, he says this, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." What is it? That is the great desire of that church that they have received in regeneration. That is the great desire of that people fulfilled. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Is that also the desire that has ever been born in your heart? And then we read something else. Then we read how He speaks about the deliverance from the consequences of sin. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Thus, there are no more consequences of sin anymore. But now there is one more thing. We read that in the last verse. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And congregation, what is it? It is now the final deliverance. From what? Not from the consequences of sin, but that is now the final deliverance from sin itself. There shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth. There shall be no temptation there. And if there were temptation there, then that temptation that would have no place in the heart of that people. No, Peter does no more fear a maid there. and he does no more deny the Lord. Oh, there is no more adultery and no more murder in the heart and the life of David anymore. No, they're the mouth of that people that will speak no more evil. All their hands, they shall commit no more evil. And their minds, they shall not even think evil anymore. That whole service of the Lord, that shall be a service without pride, with no desire to come higher and to sit on the right and on the left. There shall be no envy there. There shall be no revenge there. Oh, impatience, people of the Lord. Impatience that shall have no place there. There shall be no strife of words or of tongue. There shall be no weakness there. Oh, there shall be no falling. No more falling into sin. Oh, the heart shall not be vain anymore. The heart will not be carnal anymore. And this whole world, oh, that world that is living and is the burden of the heart of the people, and that will now be completely gone, because in no wise shall there enter into that place anything that defileth. That means that they shall be forever separated from sin, from the curse of sin, from the consequences of sin, but also from the commission of sin. And that is now the salvation of that church of God. Oh, that is that salvation, and that Simeon did see. When he saw that child, Jesus, oh, then he saw that salvation, and he longed. He longed for the fullness of it, when it be all the way complete. And then he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And then his heart longed that he may receive that salvation and be separated from sin forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, look upon us each one. O show to us our sin, but make it also a burden. Because when it is never a burden, and when it never affects us, when it is never our grief, oh, then we shall never seek after thee. We shall never need thy Son. Oh, show it to us. Open our poor blind eyes. And wilt thou bring thy word into our hearts. Go with us now when we leave this place. The services of thy day, they are now finished. For us as a congregation, oh, bring thy word to our minds in the week that is to come. Give us thoughts, give us meditation thereon, also in the rest of this day. Bring us with desire when we hope to come together again in the middle of this week for a day set aside to beseech thee for all the needs of this life. Oh, that thou may bring us up when there is ability with faithfulness and desire, young and old, that we might need thee at the beginning of this season, and that we could not begin it alone. Remember each and every one in all the circumstances of our lives. Wilt thou watch over and protect us and forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 421, stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, and thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. And what follows in 3 and 4 of 421.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.